The following is a presentation of Stewed Productions.
Hey everybody, Josh here. Real quick before we start this episode of Interbrews, just to let you know, if you want to help support the show, our Patreon page is there. For as little as a dollar an episode, you can help support the show. And now we also have the option for PayPal donations too. If you don't want to do that, we can you can just do a one-time donation. We are simply $500 away from adding video to this show. And if you want to see the face as well as hear the epic audio, that's where that is. So anyway, enough of that. All those options available. And if not, just thanks for listening. So appreciate all of that. On to the show. Let's get started.
This is Interbrews.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining the show. Another episode of Interbrews. And joining me, the next episode of the COVID Chronicles, all the way from Magnolia, one, Mr. Blake Niederhofer from Lone Pint Brewing. Lone Pint, you all know and love. Blake, you all know and love. Blake, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Yeah, yeah. How you been? What's been going on? What's the latest?
Oh, you know, it's just everything's just running exactly as normal. You know, no change for us at all.
Yeah.
We've been doing okay. You know, with the COVID deal, it's hard for everybody, but we're hanging in there and making it work.
Okay. Well, okay. So every day, and this is where, when I look at things, I kind of get, I don't know, I wouldn't call it overwhelmed, but you kind of just take a breath and you're kind of like, all right, we're still really in this thing. Cause there's moments, I don't know about you, but I have these moments where I forget about it for, you know, half a minute maybe. And then I turn around and it's like, oh yeah, this is still reality. Where are we at now? Like, the governors are saying, you know, or at least our governor in Texas is saying that some businesses can reopen and some can't. Where are we as far as breweries go and that sort of thing?
So from what I understand, there have been a couple of breweries that have reopened or tried to reopen. For the most part, the guidance we're getting is that breweries are going to be treated like bars, and when bars can open, we can too. Our tap room is still open for to go. We're open every day from noon to seven. But it's looking like maybe the 18th, we'll be able to open. I'm sure it'll be a limited capacity, but I think that's where we're at right now.
Okay. You know, I believe you were the last brewery that I visited before this all came, you know, just started. It's one of those like happy memories where I go back to like, what was life before the pandemic? What was life before COVID-19? And that's one of those days where it's like having beers in the sun and then, you know, and then some barbecue and my family around me and all that kind of stuff. So Lone Pint is nestled into my brain as a happy memory, as kind of like pre-pandemic. But I would imagine, specifically the way Lone Pine is set up, that you're already set up for social distancing.
We are. Most of our area is outside, and it's really been a shame because it's been absolutely gorgeous these last couple of weeks. I mean, with the exception of a couple little storms, mm-hmm. You know, when I get – we're still working and doing production up there, so – you know, I usually walk out there and have a beer after work, but you know, I wish other people could join me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, you know, it's those moments where you're like here, we're getting to talk, you and I are getting to talk, but how much better is it? At least for me, I don't know how it is for you, but I know how it is for me when I get to come out to the brewery and we get to sit across the table and chat and talk and, you know, just hang out. It's so much better, right? But this is good. But to be able to just hugs and handshakes and all that stuff, I miss all that a lot.
Yeah, well, I think it's going to be a little while before we get back to having everything, but we're, you know, hopefully going to start seeing a little bit of normalcy creep back in. And I hope that we're doing it the right way so that we don't have to go back to where we have been.
Yeah. Day to day, I mean, I guess, you know, I'm just trying to make sure that every time I do one of these episodes that we're getting a little bit of a historical footprint you know, when they start dusting off what was formerly, you know, 2,000 years from now, when they start dusting off what was Houston back in the day, right? There's some guys in weird hats. I assume that's how archaeology will be done 2,000 years from now. And they start dusting off what was once this place called Houston. And they get to somebody's iPhone buried deep in the sand. And they start listening to the podcast. I'm sure they'll be able to, I guess they'll still be able to download and listen to podcasts that far in the future. But how, you know, like day to day, as you operate the brewery, what, like, I don't know, are y'all doing like face masks and all that kind of stuff at the brewery? Cause you're still having to brew beer and do all that. So
we are still brewing beer. So we're in Montgomery County. So we haven't had quite the push for face masks that I know that Harris County has had. We encourage anyone that wants to wear a mask to wear a mask. But we're not requiring it. But day to day in the brewery, it looks pretty similar to Lone Pint 4 years ago. You know, we're doing, our production is back to where it was back then. And, we just have a lot more, in the way of employees now. So, but we've been very, very lucky. We have not had to lay off any employees and we haven't furloughed anyone. Everyone is still there with us. So we're, like I said, very, very lucky and we're in a good place.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting looking through all of this to kind of see, you know, the different reactions from, you know, cause each brewery in the Houston area and all around Texas and everybody kind of has their fingerprint. Like everybody's fingerprint is unique to themselves. And so your own unique business model and all that kind of stuff. So, where y'all are as far as percentage of on-site sales versus, you know, packaged sales in different places and things like that. How, you know, what do you think were some of the strengths going into this, you know, just handling the situation and what are some places that, I don't know, I guess if you could change or do things over again, or I don't know. Is there anything like that? You look at that or do you just kind of say,
well, you know, I think that where a lot of the taproom only breweries are struggling, we were lucky to, you know, have a pretty good bottling machine and be able to put out a large amount of package because keg sales have dropped to zero with the bars and restaurants being closed. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we were positioned pretty well in being able to bottle most of the beer. But, you know, there's still a large amount of kegs and inventory and things at the distributors. So, you know, it's not over yet, but, you know, I think that our ability to cut back production and put more in bottles than we usually do is, you know, what's been helping us through. Also, we've always been a very conservative company, from a financial perspective. So, there are some breweries finance, you know, meteoric growth and maybe don't have, you know, funds for rainy days, so to speak. We've always made that kind of a priority.
Yeah, I think that's key. I think that's one, like, at least I know for me personally, that's one of those lessons that I've learned. Like, you can never not have some, you know, some funds set aside just for life, right? And hopefully that's one of those things that everybody gets from that. I think that changes everybody. You can't help but have it, like, after this much time, what are we, 7 weeks into this thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it changes your DNA and the wrinkles in your brain and all that stuff.
Well, you know, I don't know if you remember, but I remember talking to my grandparents and, you know, it seems everybody that went through the Depression, you know, it left a mark on them. And granted, the Depression is longer than what we've been going through now, but I think it's going to be the same sort of thing. You're going to remember, you know, who you quarantined with and, you know, how toilet paper disappeared and, you know, all these people that are making sourdough starters and learning how to bake and paint and all these other things are going to talk about, oh yeah, well, you know, I was stuck indoors for 7 weeks and couldn't go anywhere or talk to anybody. So I learned how to do this and now I do it a lot.
Yeah. Have you tried sourdough?
I have tried sourdough. I've not tried to make it. I've not made a starter for it, but I think it's really interesting.
It it is, and but the thing that I've learned, we started a starter few weeks ago, and you have to keep feeding it because if you don't, it just becomes a rock in a jar. So that's the one thing I've learned. I think we're going to go back and try to reapproach that. But like I was watching, like, you know, we had the starter going pretty good, it's a similar approach to homebrew, right? So you feed it and you watch the fermentation, you kind of keep a one nostril out to make sure nothing is too funky smelling, right? There's there's like the appropriate amount of funk, but once it goes, you know, strays into, you know, I don't know, weird funk and like gross funk, that's not the funk you want. And so anyway, we had good funk and everything was going great. But then, you know, I started looking like, oh, now we can make some bread. And like, it's like an all day process to make one single loaf of sourdough. And I probably should have looked into that before we started the whole process. Cause I was like, oh, I don't have proofing baskets or any of that kind of stuff. And so it's like, I don't even know what to do now. So had a starter, but then the starter stopped. And so now I got to go back and
begin again.
Yeah. But So I got to get on Amazon or somewhere and find some proofing baskets.
Well, you know, they say that there's that bakery out in San Francisco that's had a starter that's been alive for, you know, 100 years.
Really?
I don't remember the name of it, but obviously it's probably changed quite a bit in 100 years. But
yeah.
They seem to be much more responsible than you and me.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. That would be an interesting thing, like to dive into the DNA of whatever's in there, the yeast and the bacteria and that sort of thing. I wish it's too bad we don't have like a sample from 100 years ago to see how it's changed over time. And maybe the answer, like the cure to COVID-19 is in there, you know?
Could be.
Maybe. Have you, I've gotten into a lot of conspiracy kind of stuff, like not full on, like I'm not wearing a foil hat yet. Yeah, I've got one ready to go. But generally speaking, like overall life, right? When Blake Niederhofer looks at the world, how do you make sense of all this? Like this is a big open-ended question, but basically fix this whole thing real quick over a podcast.
So, yeah, I've heard myriad conspiracy theories, right? I mean, it seems with everybody sitting at home, they've had a lot of time to come up with these exotic theories and find the name of Wuhan and books and all that. And truth be told, that's all way, way above my pay grade. I don't know where it came from, and I don't know who ate the bat or, you know, released the virus, but... You know, I've been doing my best to follow the things that are set out for us by the people who claim to be experts. But I did hear a term on my way home today that I had not, that falls in the conspiracy theory. Mm-hmm. There's some people calling it the plandemic.
Yeah.
Somebody planned the whole thing and, you know, all that. But like I said, I'm just trying to care for my family and friends and be responsible as we can and try and get our people through to the other side. You know, I think that's all we can do.
I think that's where you have to root yourself. Cause I watched, there's a video on YouTube. If you look that up, that it gets taken down and then reposted almost every day. And it was sent to me. A link was sent to me yesterday. That it's called Plandemic. It's like a video. And I'm not endorsing it or saying anybody should watch it or shouldn't watch it. You know, watch it and then, you know, make a judgment for you, right? And so, like, I saw it and I kind of halfway watched it, like, as I was doing something else. And I'm like, man, this is crazy. And then it got me to thinking, and it's like, I should probably dig more into who these people are and that sort of thing. And that's a whole nother rabbit hole. And then on top of that, murder hornets. And it's like, how can all this stuff be happening right now all at the same time? Right? Murder hornets. Those are the, you know, that's the scariest thing if it weren't for a pandemic. You know, so it's like, I don't, have you seen the murder hornets?
I have seen the murder hornets, and I've watched them eat bees and stuff. It's crazy.
Have you seen the one with the mouse?
No, I've not.
There's a video of a murder hornet, which I had a lawyer friend of mine who wanted me to make sure that when I said that it's alleged murder hornet, you know, they should be afforded due process just like everybody else. But this thing jumped on the back of a mouse, which would be like us jumping on a horse, like, you know, size ratio wise. And it murdered a mouse.
Wow.
It stung it over and it was like less than 3 minutes. I'm like, that's crazy. I don't know if there's a question there.
No, I don't know if that's a question, but I'll tell you, you know, as far as the videos and things that are going around and the conspiracies and people, you have to remember that there's also a documentary on Netflix. I know we've all had a lot of time to watch Netflix. I know where you think I'm going, but it's not Tiger King. Mm. There's the documentary on Netflix about the flat earthers. Have you seen that?
Yes.
Wow. And a lot of those people are from Houston. I mean, how sad is that?
Sad, but yet still there's a little source of pride there.
Like they said our name on TV.
Yeah. It's that one's worth a watch because you watch the entire time and then at the very end, right? It's that little, like right there at the, I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but right there, it makes it worth the whole thing. Cause you watch this whole thing. You're like, what? This is just, there's so much ridiculousness everywhere. But then you watch it, the reaction at the very end of that one. What is that one? I forget what that one's called. I'll have to look that one up, but that one's, yeah, flat earth. Yeah. I don't know. I guess certain people will potentially buy into anything. I don't. It's an interesting psychological, I don't know, like case study, I guess. But then again, we don't have all the answers either, Blake. Murder hornet.
This is true. This is very true.
Right? And that's the problem. So,
but I am quite sure that the earth is not flat surrounded by a giant ring of ice.
No, I think that's a pretty safe assumption. Space travel and all. But you just, you know, right? Until we go to space, right?
But to be interviewing all those people, and they were interviewing them at NASA, which was just, man, if I was one of those NASA scientists or astronauts, I would have been going nuts.
it really is when you think of that, when you think, oh, wait, here are the smartest people on the planet, the round planet, right? And... You know, it's this stuff that they've been doing for, you know, I don't know. When did NASA start? In the 40s, the 50s? I guess.
I don't know exactly.
Late 50s? Like,
if I had to guess, I'd say that's got to be right.
Yeah. I don't know when they actually coined the term NASA. I mean, I know we got a guy in space we got them to the moon. Apollo 11 was 69, right? But. It started way, you know, I guess it'd have to be 50s, 40s, late 40s, maybe. It's all the post-World War II stuff. So, it's like literally half a century people have been studying this or more, right? Almost 75 years now. I don't know, maybe they find it hilarious. I don't know. But I will say this, as far as like cleanliness and things like that and fighting virus type things, I feel like brewers are uniquely qualified and, equipped. Like, I feel like there should be a whole panel of just brewers and distillers, you know, feeding the government information. Right?
Yeah, well, sometimes you wonder where they're getting their information. But absolutely, you know, I'm more of a janitor than a brewer, I feel, a lot of times. And especially during this whole pandemic, we've had an opportunity to clean everything in the brewery two or three times. And, that's always a good thing. But our process is so dependent on sanitation and cleanliness anyway. I feel like the majority of brewers are not strangers to, you know, the difference between cleanliness and sanitation, or the, you know, thought of bacteria infecting the beer. I think that, you know, viruses are a whole nother ball game, but we're, to your point, I mean, we're certainly well trained in keeping things clean and safe.
Yeah. What, as far as like, has this changed your approach to, say, like your end of day beer or anything like that? I find I'm drinking a lot more beer.
I was going to say it put a big S on the end of day beer for sure. but no, I mean, we're working shorter days and doing less. But yeah, I mean, I think everybody's drinking a little bit more.
Yeah. I'm looking at a list like at your to-go stuff.
Uh-huh.
And, your to-go only, you're opening every day at noon. Open
right.
until 7. That's 7 days a week.
That's right.
That's open to 7 days a week. That's fantastic. And I'm looking at the bourbon maple syrup gentleman's relish. That sounds like a little slice of heaven.
Yeah, so of course we always do the big barrel aged beer release for our anniversary. You know, this year was the apple brandy. The apple brandy tornado shark,
which is fantastic, by the way.
Thank you. We've also been doing a pretty extensive small batch barrel program at the brewery. So there are a lot of things that never make it to the market because we just do one small barrel and then keg it and serve it at the beer garden. And you'll see from time to time, if you follow the menu, that different things pop up. We've done a rum barrel aged undead. We did a tequila barrel El Cuero. There have been lots of, you know, different barrel aging ideas like that. Oh, a gin barrel aged Jabberwocky, which is one of Heather's favorites.
Yeah.
So.
So when you're dealing with these different barrels, like what have you learned from like as far as time in the barrel and yeah, I don't know what the concentration is. Like I'm guessing everything's completely empty when you put, you know, the beer into it. But as far as like freshness from when it had like gin or rum in it or anything like that, what's the, like as far as time in the barrel, is there a difference between like gin and bourbon and tequila and things like that? Is it?
Absolutely. I mean, and the size of the barrel makes a big difference, and whether you keep it cool or whether you let it cycle, you know, through hot and cold periods, all of that stuff makes a difference. And, you know, whenever we do our big barrel aged beer, we usually start talking it up right when we put it in barrels because, you know, we're so excited about it. And the question we always get from people is, when is this going to come out? Mm-hmm. And the answer I always give is snarky and kind of tongue in cheek, but the answer is when it's done.
Yeah.
And you just don't know because barrel to barrel is different and size of barrel is different. Like I said, weather's different. You just have to taste it. And when you're happy with it, then you put it out. And that sort of thing, you just have to be really patient for. It's not, that's why they're special releases.
Yeah. Is there ever too long in a barrel?
I think there can be. We're not that patient though. But I've heard stories of overpowering barrels, but usually what happens is the brewer will then blend it with non-barrel aged beer to get it kind of back into range.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. So like, okay, so nerd out for a second for me if you can. Like with gin, when they make the gin in those barrels, is that a new barrel or had they used it for anything else before that?
From my understanding, gin barrels are new barrels.
Okay.
That because the botanicals and things are pretty, I guess, can't think of the term, but you know, they're very delicate, I guess, if you will. You don't want it being overpowered by putting it in a, you know, former bourbon barrel or something.
Yeah. Have you ever done like a bourbon barrel that was previously used for red wine and previously used for, I don't know, white wine or something along those lines, like a double layer barrel?
No, we haven't. At least not to my knowledge. So when we buy our barrels, it comes through a barrel broker.
Okay.
And so we don't necessarily know who used it. So we rely on the broker to tell us what was in it, and they won't allow us to kind of trace back and talk to the original winery or distiller or whatever. So, assuming everything that we've gotten is as was sold, I don't think that we have.
Okay. I'm curious. I wonder how many like generations of use, like for a barrel or like, you know, how much it actually, like, could you layer flavors in a barrel and then pop a beer in there and then, you know, get some of those layers. I don't know.
It would make sense. But that's certainly not my area of expertise.
Yeah. What about like, okay. So with like, when you put Undead into a barrel, the heat, does the heat dissipate in the barrel?
You know, I've not noticed it dissipating. No, I do still have some barrel aged Undead that we did in the port wine barrels from a couple years ago.
Yes.
So maybe next time we see each other, we can crack one open and do a side by side with the fresh Undead.
Okay, that would be a lot of fun. Yeah, you might have to put that like, you know, with your stats on of the beer, like Scoville unit or whatever. Like, I don't know how you measure that post using the pepper. Like, I know that certain peppers, like ghost peppers, have like, you know, whatever the Scoville, like the range, right?
Yeah, I think they rated like around 1 million.
Yeah, yeah, and you can like literally be caught on fire if you get too close to fresh ghost peppers in the proper quantity, but. Which it's funny, right? I was like, peppers are so interesting because I was chopping up some habaneros the other day and I'd forgotten about it, right? And it's that thing where like, if you didn't wear gloves and then your hand gets wet and like the oil, I guess, re-dissipates on your, like it literally feels like your hand is on fire.
Yeah.
Like you feel like you look down and like you could see flames coming up, but it's not. It's like the most interesting. And it's like, when you figure that out, it's like, okay, this burns. But then I look and I was like, it kind of feels cool too.
See, now I thought you were going to a bathroom story when you started that one.
No, but I've had that too. Right. That's one of those things where you're like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That was, cause I know there's probably certain soaps that cut through that oil and stuff better than just normal hand soap.
Yeah. But I mean, We're right at the tail end now, but it's crawfish season, and crawfish can be the same way if you go and get the really, really spicy ones. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird, right? But it's like, it gets down in the groove. Like if your hands, I imagine like the grooves of your hands are like the wood grain in a barrel, right? Things go in there.
Yeah.
Maybe you should do some like hand aged beer. Like somebody just holds it.
I don't think now is the right time for that.
All right, yeah, okay, man. We'll shelf that.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that we're probably a few years out on that being acceptable.
We had 7 random dudes dip their hands unwashed into this barrel of beer, and this is what we got.
Well, that's almost as bad as the Rogue beer, right? Where they cultured the yeast out of the brewer's beard.
Oh yeah, yeah, I can't, and I get it. Right, if you can isolate a single strain of something, I guess, and look at it in a microscope, and if you're smarter than I am and know what you're doing, then that's a okay thing. But yeah, I can't.
Yeah, that's okay. It might be an okay thing, but it's not my thing.
Yes, that print that t-shirt.
Right. And I've heard some even more, and I'm sure you have too, graphic and horrible yeast for beer stories, but we probably shouldn't even talk about those.
Yeah, I think it's been discussed before.
Yeah.
I think it was, what were those guys from, Sweden or something, or somewhere somewhere like that. But you can Google that one. Yeah, no, the whole barrel thing, I don't know. But then that heat thing too. I'm curious. Like, I don't think it, because like it'll stay on your hands for days if you go just bare hands to a like when you, especially if you finally chop up the, you know, like mince it up real fine, and then you scrape it up and you use your hand to kind of put it on the knife blade and put it into whatever, your eggs or whatever. That's what I do. But it's, yeah, it just kind of, it stays there. Like even, and you wash and wash and wash, but still you get that heat. So I don't know that heat. I don't know. It's interesting. It's like a weird phenomenon. Like how does that, it's not burning something. How does that make your, how does the heat work? It's like magic.
Yeah. So yeah. And when we brew Undead, we add, you know, the ghost peppers, we add about a pound into the boil, which you don't get a lot from when you're standing over it. But then we make a tea out of another pound where we basically boil a pot of water with a pound of ghost peppers in it. And I'll tell you that acts like mace in a room. It will clear a very large area. Otherwise everyone's coughing and sneezing and it in a room.
So clear it out completely. Maybe that's what they should do instead of, like, you see people breaking the government dictate not to meet, you know, in groups of whatever. They should just have like a pot of boiling water with ghost peppers in it. And like, if they're trying to break up somebody doing, you know, too big of a group, they just stick that in the middle. And it's like, if you're far enough away for this not to affect you.
Yeah, that's definitely a good way to get people to social distance from you.
Yeah, and then put masks. You're going to have a mask. Anyway. But I love that beer, though. I swoon over Undead Head Ed and the barrel-aged versions of it. But then I also swoon over most of your beers, too. Y'all have amazing beers. Has anybody ever told y'all that?
No, this is the first time.
Oh, well, you should definitely keep making them because they're delicious.
Oh. Okay, well, thank you. I will write that down.
Yeah. During this time, I mean, I'm looking at the list of what you've got, like the barrel-aged stuff to go, and then your year-round beers, which are all, they're all just fantastic. I really do. Like, I just enjoy all of your beers. Like, it's one of those, like, Gentleman's Relish is so different from Yellow Rose, and Yellow Rose is so different from Undead Head, and that's so different from Tornado Shark, and it's just, they're all, you know, but in Jabberwock, it's like when you need that hot bite and all that stuff, they're all so good, though. They're just super, I don't know, that's not a question, I'm just telling you that, but, as, like, is there, since you've had, I guess, more time, shorter days, anything, you know, y'all do experiment with a lot of different hops and things like that, is there anything you've contemplated?
We've played around with a couple of homebrew recipes. I know me and some of the other brewers have kind of tried some things out. Nothing they'd be ready to talk about or go to market with. But yeah, I mean, we're definitely, you know, spending our downtime doing some research and development.
Okay. Because you guys were, like, Yellow Rose was right there when Mosaic first became a thing and then became the thing. And Yellow Rose just, it is just like, you put it out perfectly. It's like, here it is. It just, you know, highlights what this beautiful hop does. And, you know, so that was great. So I don't know, like whenever you decide to do like the next highlight of something beautiful, I look forward to that. It's like, because you did that, I always think, all right, that can happen again. So don't take your eyes off of whatever new stuff you guys are doing.
So we are still, working on, you know, single hop recipes, to kind of educate not only the public, but us as well, really, about kind of how wonderful these hops can be. And I'm happy to report that we have a label currently submitted to the TABC for approval for our Zythophile series. So not only will they be available on tap, but we're hoping to bottle them in 4-packs as well.
Okay. Oh, fun. That's fantastic. Yeah, because, oh man, that's great.
Of course, nobody's working at TABC right now, so you know, it's taking quite a bit longer. Well, I think they're probably working from home like the rest of the world, but it's taking a little time. So we're hoping to have it up and going as soon as possible. We have a pretty killer recipe that we're thinking will be its debut.
Okay.
So we'll.
when that gets approved and we move a little bit farther or a little bit closer to it, then we will we'll have to get back together and we'll go through the particulars.
Yes. Yes. Okay, so you mentioned TABC, they're working from home. Is there any other part of, say, like your ingredients or, I don't know, packaging supplies or anything like that that's been affected so far?
So we've been really lucky with that. I'm sorry, I just got a text, got distracted. The beverage industry was deemed by the Department of Homeland Security as essential. And when they did that, that means that our entire supply chain above us and our distribution network below us gets to operate under that same exemption. So as of right now, we've not had any issues. Now, I've read the news articles that I'm sure you guys have that say that there could be shortages in CO2 or oxygen, but as of right now, we've not experienced any of that.
Okay. Now, if that did happen, just theoretically, could you go to bottle conditioning or something like that? Or is that too...
The way that our process is set up, I don't think that would make sense for us.
Okay.
Now there are CO2 reclamation units and things where you can capture the CO2 that fermentation expends and clean it and put it back in and use it as CO2 later in the process. But it's so far out of our brewery's price range that it's not feasible at this time.
Okay. Yeah. Cause when you walk by a fermenter, especially like, you know, that day of the brew or day after, and it's got, you know, the big bucket of, like, I guess that's, what is that? Sanitizer, like a home brewer.
Yeah. Sanitizer. Yeah. Yeah.
It's bubble. Like it looks like a boil, like a full rolling boil, like big time.
Like, oh yeah.
A lot of CO2 getting, produced and put off by the yeast eating the sugars and stuff. So I would imagine, I don't have any idea like how many, like from a homebrewer standpoint, how many 5-pound, you know, canisters of CO2 per day, I wonder, does a fermenter, you know, like a 15 barrel fermenter or a 10 barrel fermenter put off?
It's quite a bit, but I couldn't tell you exactly.
Yeah.
But I'm sure those guys that sell the CO2 reclamation units would be happy to shoot you a PDF.
I am kind of curious about that because you talk, you know, no, you don't, but people, the society out there talks about, you know, carbon emissions and all that kind of stuff. And yep. I'm thinking, well, if we can, you know, we need CO2 for a lot of things. And if we're just willy nilly, you know, shooting it out there in different places, you know, how hard is it to harness that stuff? Like, I have no idea, right? Like,
yeah,
who knows? I don't know.
Well, from what I understand, the two things that I know for a fact is that it's possible and that it is expensive.
Yeah, it's funny, right? Because like desalinization too. Like, if you had only seawater, like let's say it didn't rain in Houston for a year, and all we had was like Gulf water.
Like, yeah.
First of all,
that's pretty scary.
That is scary. Next thing we'd have would be a tornado shark.
Right. Right.
And yeah. Followed by any of that you had left just to cope. But, yeah, like that to me, it's like, oh yeah, there's water there, but then there's salt in it. It's like, oh, you just evaporate it and catch it. But that's, you know, that's the same kind of thing. It's like super expensive, I guess, cause we've never really had to do it to maybe, I don't. Again, I never mind. It's just kind of where my brain goes. It's like, yeah, we should be able to do that. And by we, I mean somebody way smarter than me. I don't know. Whatever. Okay. Well, then let's jump forward a little bit. And I mean, we have been going through this thing for a while. And when it first started, there was kind of the three levels of conversation. One is, can you believe this is happening? Two, the distraction talk, which is anything other than that. And then when it comes back into your brain, you know, back to, well, what are we going to do on the other side of that? So when you look at kind of the trend of way things are going, the slow play towards reopen and things like that. Do you have anything specific in mind? Like even like, I don't know if you can even let your brain go there other than just kind of theoretical kind of in your mind's eye place of like, you know, a year from now or 2 years from now, or is it, what, or have you had any of those kind of thoughts on like, you know, if this happens, then this, or if that happens, then that, any of that kind of thing?
We did that a lot in the beginning. And then everything that was kind of on our list of that'll never happen, happened.
Yeah.
And so we were having almost weekly, or I'm sorry, almost daily meetings going, okay, well, you know, this is how it's going to be for the next few weeks. Then we're going to reevaluate. And then we get home and watch the news and be like, oh, wow, that's not right. And we'd have to go back and meet the next day and say, okay, well, with the new landscape. So I have given up on my forecasting ability.
Yeah.
And, you know, so no, I've not given a lot of thought. You know, we clearly had plans and further expansion ideas of how that was going to work and everything that we were about to start working on. But as far as right now, no, I couldn't even fathom what 3 years from now is going to look like. Hopefully it looks like, you know, earlier this year where everything was normal, mm-hmm. but no, I've, I would not speculate, especially while being recorded, as to what I think is 3 years from now is going to look like.
Yeah, it would turn into one of those, like, what the future will look like, you know, from 1890.
Yeah. You know, right. Yeah.
Projection into the future.
Yeah, because, well, we've already passed the Jetsons year, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We've passed Jetsons. We've passed Back to the Future 2.
Let's say hoverboards, like all that stuff.
Yeah. We should be flying around. And I don't know that we've, what was, I'll have to look to like Wally or something like that. Like, I don't know what the next, you know, Minority Report, how far in the future was that?
I don't know. How far in the future was Idiocracy? I feel like we're kind of getting there.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. I don't know. I need to go back and watch that. Speaking of like watching things, that's like one, that's now that's back on the list because we got to figure out where we are in relation to that. But I felt like it was coming up pretty quick and I felt like we were right on track. But Gatorade on my yard.
So was it? Chris.
Yeah. Like when you're not at the brewery and you have more time, you're talking about like Netflix or things like that. Anything that you've gotten into, books or movies or shows or games or anything like that? That,
yeah, I mean, we've been, you know, we've been trying to get outside some. You know, my, just before this, our daughter was starting to play tennis. We've been playing some tennis with her. We took her fishing, and you know, we've been trying to, you know, get out of the house some, but. Yeah, I mean, like everybody, we've binge watched, you know, all of the trash stuff that everyone's talking about. Of course, we saw Tiger King and the follow up, and you know all that stuff. So
yeah,
we watched. I think everyone's, like you said, alcohol consumption and probably bad TV consumption is way up.
Yeah, I know. I've put on, I think it's 10 pounds, around 10 pounds so far. And I'm feeling pretty good. You know, like I've put in the work, you know. It's right. It's feeling good so far. I think that's a good pandemic weight to walk around at, you know, to bulking, you know, to add the strength, obviously, to add
right.
more strength. How old is your daughter?
13.
Okay, let me ask you this. Because my oldest daughter, same age. We watched all three seasons of Stranger Things. Have y'all watched that together with her?
We haven't watched it with her, but we did watch it. Yes.
I was a little apprehensive at first with my daughter because the twins are 11, but we watched it. And then the scary parts weren't so, it was some of the other stuff, like, just kids being, you know, rebelling and that sort of thing. It's like, you don't want your kids to be too rebellious, but if you make it, like if you pause it and have the long conversations every time, just to avoid the long conversations in the future, I think they'll never rebel. So, or maybe not never, but maybe in a more mild way. But anyway, they loved it. It's just, I'd forgot, like, we watched the three seasons as each one came out, and then we rewatched them with them, and man, they just had a blast, and I had a blast, you know, even though it's like I've watched them all before, watching them again with them, man, they had such a blast, like, when the, like, when 11 would come around and save the day, like, they would literally be like, yeah, you know, like, jumping up and down, and, you know, so that's been a lot of fun, so I don't know if that's on the radar or not.
And it's always, it's also, you know, a fun education for the kids about what our childhood looked like. You know, all those kids look like friends of mine, you know, the video games and the horrible fashion and all that stuff. It's like, yeah, that's where we started. When we were your age, we looked like that.
Yeah. And it really, they do a really good job.
Yeah.
Like, some of it's like super spot on, and it's, you know, there's only a handful of movies or shows or whatever that really nail it. Like, some of them, they, it's like done by people that, I don't know, either they didn't pay enough attention to the details or whatever, but it, that one, they really nail the mid 80s really, really well.
Yeah.
So, and then, like, if you're looking for like later 90s, like mid to late 90s, Halloween H2O, because it was made in the late to mid 90s. And it's just so, it's the most 90s movie you'll ever see. It's including the Creed playing in the background on certain scenes. And, yeah, I'll have to dig in and find some more like time, you know, some period piece, movies that really exemplify the day. But
yeah, I have to say Stranger Things is the movie equivalent to taking your kids to the game preserve. Do y'all ever go there?
I've been, yes. If there was ever something that my wife was taking one of my daughters to go, it's like, and we were in that area, it's like, yep, we're going to the game preserve. So yeah, we've been a few times. So. Yeah. Yeah, that is fun. That's a fun place, though, right?
Yeah. But the kids are like, wait, these are video games? Like, but you're not even at home.
Yeah, yeah. And there's something cool about just having the one, like, game preserve, you can go and you can jump from game to game to game. But if you take that, you know, Stranger Things season 3 approach, like with Dig Dug, and you try to get that high score, you know, you got to dedicate some time and energy, and it teaches lessons about perseverance, right? So...
Mm-hmm.
There's all that. Yeah, we need more, I don't know, like Game Preserve. Is it Game Preserve? I don't know if they're considered essential, but they maybe they should be. Maybe we put some plexiglass in between each game or something.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I haven't reached out, I guess. But, you know, I'm sure if they were open, they would be packed. It'd be hard to turn the kids away because there's not a lot else going on.
That's true. And you could sanitize the surface between gameplay, and those like the cabinets are kind of built for social distancing, even though they're close to each other. It's kind of a wall and you're kind of in your own world. And if you just extended that just a little bit, maybe there's something to that. Maybe the arcade makes a giant comeback.
Yeah. They'd probably have to get rid of that 4-person Ninja Turtle game though. It's pretty awesome, and you're right up on everybody when you're playing that.
That's true. That's one of my favorites, though. Who is your favorite Ninja Turtle?
Oh, man. Leonardo, right? He had the swords?
He did.
And he was kind of like the leader guy. I mean, I think I like him.
Okay. I think it says a lot about personality types. And, you led and opened a brewery. You know, right? You're the Leonardo of Lone Pine. And I think that says a lot about you. See, my favorite was always Raphael, especially from the movie, because the personality was a little different from the cartoon to the movie.
Yeah.
But he was, you know, he's always kind of a smart ass and smart aleck. And it just, you know, I'm like, I want to be like that. But I don't know that everybody liked him. Like, it's either you loved him or you hated him. And so maybe, I don't know.
Yes, the Ninja Turtles are kind of a weird thing too, right? Like, I mean, the comics were super dark,
mm-hmm.
like when it started, and then they made it into kind of a kid's cartoon, and then they made it into kind of somewhere in between movies. It's kind of weird to see how that changed over time.
Yeah, yeah. The comics were pretty dark, huh? And then they looked at the model of like He-Man and the Star Wars, you know, movie, like all the toy sales. I think that's where they kind of look at that and Transformers and things like that. And they're like, we got millions of dollars on the table here if we can make this into plastic. Because I had a lot of those.
Yeah, you know, if we sell our soul and dumb it down a little bit, we could probably make a ton of money. It's kind of like when people sell out to InBev, right?
Yeah, well, that's kind of my mantra for life. If I can just dumb it down and sell out. But so far, I've just, the first part I've nailed. So, it's the, but anyway, I digress. And I kid. I try not to dumb it down. It's not down. If I'm just honest, Blake, every day I realize how dumb I am in some certain way. And I think that's how you got to keep yourself humble that way. I don't know about
Absolutely,
you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Prove yourself.
I'm still learning a lot. Hey, let's do something real quick before I forget. Okay.
Okay.
We're going to reward everybody that made it this far into the conversation, with an announcement. So we have teamed up with some bars and restaurants in Houston to kind of show our support for the people that have really been working their butts off for this pandemic deal. So for healthcare workers and first responders, starting on May 8th, which I'll just say the date because I don't know when you're going to put this all together. Mm-hmm. While supplies last, we're doing free growler fills of Yellow Rose.
Oh, that's awesome.
Now, it's not at the brewery. Actually, they are at the brewery, but it's not just at the brewery. Do you want the list?
Yeah.
It's quick. It's not real long. So Brew 30 Tap House, Brews Brothers in Galveston, both Huey's, Nobi Public House, Premium Draft, Thistle Draft Shop, and both locations of Woodson's local tap and kitchen.
Awesome.
Now, you do have to bring your own growler. If you come out to the brewery, you can buy growlers there. And if you go to one of the places that sells growlers, you can fill one of theirs. But you'll have to buy that. But the fill itself will be free as long as we can do that.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm gonna cut that part out and post it on its own just so we get the word out.
Okay. Yeah, and there's a flyer that we put together, and it's on the it's on our Facebook. But wanted to make sure I brought that up before we got too deep for anybody to hear it, or or I forgot altogether.
No, perfect. That's perfect. Yeah, I can. Of course, it'll stay in this whole beautiful episode of the podcast, but I'll isolate it and put it out there as its own standalone, little piece of news. That'll be good. Perfect. And when you were naming off the places, it's like my favorite places, all my favorite places.
Yeah, I mean, these are all great places and places that, typically serve our beer anyway. So, if you're a healthcare worker, a first responder, just take your ID up to one of those places and say, hey, I heard Lone Pine's doing free growler fills. I want my Yellow Rose.
Yeah. And geographically speaking,
covered a lot of area.
Yeah, I don't know what the square mileage is, but it's most of the Houston area.
Yeah, I mean, so I would say the farthest north is probably Woodson's, and the farthest south is in Galveston. But that's a pretty encompassing group of folks in Houston.
Yeah, yeah, that's good stuff. Good, good. All right. Well, with that being said, is there? I don't know, anything else that you want to throw out there or talk about or discuss or speculate on or any predictions? Where will the oil prices and the stock market be this time next year? Anything like that?
Oh, man, I sure wish I knew.
Yeah, I don't.
If any of you guys know, I'll be happy to trade beer for insured predictions.
Yeah. Right. What a crazy time. I'll just wrap everything up with just saying, man, what a crazy time. It's just, it's wild. But you know what though, even with it all, like to bring it all back home, it's like as crazy as now is and how like nobody's ever experienced, nobody living has ever experienced anything even remotely close to this. And so we're all kind of going through a new thing together, which is refreshing in some ways. It has brought about some really cool things like your opportunity to serve others in that are serving others, right? You get to do a good thing for people doing good things for other people. I can do these podcasts. Like we just jump on Skype real quick. You just walked in from, I guess, a long day at the brewery working hard. And, I hopefully you got your shoes off and you got your feet up and you're or whatever. I don't know. What are you doing right now?
Hopefully I'm not like that that newscaster, right? That they got caught with no pants on.
Yeah. No, I feel like now's the time. Listen, yeah, he shouldn't have gotten caught. He's like kind of like the Astros, but everybody's doing it, right? Now's the time to lose the pants and just go for it. So
that was my favorite. He's probably more famous now than he'll ever be, you know. It's great. And yeah, there's lots of weird stuff going on. And you know, I think that the neatest part is that we're all going through it together. And you know, it's regardless of any sort of filter, you know, we're all impacted by it. And that's one of the really unique things about it.
Yeah, it really is kind of the great equalizer, right? Because there's no running from it. And there's, you know, there's certain places you'd kind of like to be versus others as far as like how much, you know, that's always going to be life, right? But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, a virus doesn't care about, you know, where you're from, you know, how much money you got in the bank or anything like that. And it's just the lockdown, it's just all that, right? But it has, you know, for me, like, it's really made me appreciate a lot of things, like getting to give hugs and shake hands and have beers across the table with friends and things like that. I can't wait for that day. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be just a beautiful day when that's, you know, a thing again.
And, you know, it's changed a lot. You know, my family that I talk to, you know, maybe once a month, but we'd never really talk together unless it was like a holiday. You know, we're doing weekly Zoom calls, and I've got a group of my neighbors, and there's this park down the street, and we all go and put our chairs way far apart, and we, you know, bring beers out, and we drink our own beer. You know, we're staying apart and not sharing anything or whatever, but you know, everybody's home. So, you know, we're interacting. And I think that, you know, hopefully some people learn that being home is okay and not working all the time is okay. And we're all better for it. Hopefully we can take something positive out of all of this mess.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. I think so. And I think that's a good, place to wrap that. You know, I think we will. I think we have to.
Yeah.
It's like it's the Captain America approach. You know, are we going to take something? We have to. We don't have a choice. We have to. It's got to work. It's got to be positive at the end. So I don't know. But Blake, thank you for taking the time after your hard day at work and to speak on Interbrews again. It's good to hear your voice, but I can't wait to see your face. So,
Yeah, well, let's get together and have a beer when all this is over. And thank you so much for what you do and for getting our message out there and letting people know that we're still around. It's very appreciated, and thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Blake Niederhofer, everybody. Lone Pint in Magnolia and their delicious beers, as you heard him say, all around town, and Growler Fills and Beer to Go and all that good stuff out from the brewery and where their beers are served. So for Blake, I am Josh. Go visit Lone Pint and... stay safe and healthy, and we'll see you next time. This is Interbrews.
This is Interbrews.
The preceding has been a presentation of Stewed Productions.